Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to call tonight's June 2nd, 2020 adjourned September meeting for 6 p.m. to order with a roll call, please.
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles? Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Grader?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Motion
moved
by
second.
Sussage, seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Is that an opposition, Audra, or is that a... Yes.
Aye. It's an aye. Aye. Sorry. Still having technical difficulties.
Thank you. Special recognition. I would like to recognize, and I don't know if she's on the phone or not today, but Dr. Amal Tokars, who has spent the last just over 15 years with Kendall County Health Department as the director. I wanted to say a few things about her, and she has spent a significant amount of time here and seen a lot of things in our county, proceeded over a lot of growth, and there are a couple of board members here tonight that I think were on the board when she was here. So Dr. Tokars has a Master's of Science in the area of systems therapies in the clinical setting. Her doctoral work emphasized her love of organizational learning, social movement and research methods, as well as cognate in anthropology. Her graduate and doctoral work was completed at Northern Illinois University in Illinois. She is also a graduate of Navy Postgraduate School Executive Leaders Program in California. And her work experience includes approximately 15 years in the public health arena, as well as clinical policy and research experience. Her areas of particular passion include health ethics, international policy, and engaging in dialogue about the essentialities of a thriving civil society. Under her leadership, the health department achieved public health accreditation, international accreditation in the area of behavioral health and governance, and one of the first organizations to meet the national organizational standards by the National Community Action Partnership. Dr. Tokars has served as the president of Northern Illinois Public Health Consortium, and she received an exemplary reading from CARF, C-A-R-F, for our creation on the Cultural Competency Plan. Dr. Tokars also received the Illinois Public Health Association President's Recognition Award, which is the highest award given in 2017. So we just wanted to take a minute to recognize all of her contributions to the health department, but also to our county. And, you know, I got to talk to her a lot over the last 2.5 or 3 months, and, well, longer than that now. It's we first started talking about COVID in January. She said, you know, watch it, and we did, and we see what have happened here. So, you know, we wish her the best of luck and in her future endeavor.
Is she on the line? Doesn't sound like it, huh?
There's some phone numbers I don't recognize, but I don't know if she made it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she's there.
Aw. So. She could be in spring.
Scott, this is Tony. I made it back in.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Mr. Giles is present. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Hendricks.
If I could say a word on Dr. Tokars' behalf.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I always found my interaction with her to be she was the utmost professional, and she ran her organization with an eye to detail for the culture and the work that they were doing, and to bring the highest quality of programs and services to our community on what were very limited resources. And so it's quite understandable that someone else has taken her from us, because they know a good thing when they see it. So I wish her well, and I just think that we were all very lucky and very blessed to have had her here for the time she was here, and to thank her for her professionalism and her devotion to the public health, which she truly does have. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, can I say a quick thing?
Mr. Giles.
Thank you. I just want to make a quick note because I had the privilege of working with Dr. Tokars over the past about 3.5 years on the Health Department Board. And I just want to second what Member Hendricks said in regards to her professionalism. you know, it was second to none. I found that in all the intricacies of the health department, which, you know, I mean, even after 3.5 years, I don't even think I, you know, have a grasp of exactly every little thing that they do, because they do so much. But there's so many instances in which case, you know, a person may sit back and go, oh my gosh, you know,
this person has not been kind to you time after time after time, but yet you still see every dealing with them as just that, an individual dealing. That she was really good at compartmentalizing as far as like, okay, this did or didn't go through, and I don't hold any malice towards that person because, you know, maybe they disagreed. And then the next time they come to meet again, she has, you know, that optimistic point of view, which is, you know what, it's a new situation, same relationship with the same people, but new situation, and she's going to address it just as that. So I know that's something that we all embody and try to do on the board, that, you know, we may disagree on different ideas and vote different ways, and obviously we all 10 of us have our differences, but, you know, I thought she was really good at doing what we all try to do, which is once we've vetted the idea and whether people agree or disagree with us, you know, the next idea is just that, the next idea. It's not any carryover from individuals. So I thought that level of professionalism was really good to see in her. Thank you, Chairman Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Giles. Ms. Flowers.
I too would like to say something regarding Dr. Chokar's. She has always been a true advocate of the citizens of Kendall County in terms of the health department. She has always shown her compassion and dedication for the health department, and we are going to be very sorry to lose her as a director. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And for the time being, there is a search that's undergoing, and as many of you know, and Rayanne Gundy is going to be the interim director for the next few weeks at least. So I got my first call from her last night. She's going to have some overlap with Dr. Tokar's through this week, but she's starting to take over some of those duties while she's here. So also wanted to recognize Mars Wrigley Foundation for their contributions to Kendall County. They donated $25,000 to the Fox Valley United Way's Fox Valley Corona Relief Coronavirus Relief Fund, which provides financial assistance and increase access to food and other basic supplies to those in need in Kane and Kendall counties. And just wanted to recognize their commitment to our community. They do have over 400 associates at its manufacturing facility in Yorkville, so they are a big contributor to our community and our county. They have Mars Wrigley has more than 3,700 associates in Illinois, so wanted to take a minute and just recognize that act from Mars Wrigley as well. All right. Next, public comment. Per our usual, we have the same rules as always. Todd Milliron got on the agenda, and I was contacted afterwards by three others, Ann Vickery, Nancy Martin, and Steve Yohani. So, Todd, you get to go first, and you know the usual 5 minutes when you say your name when you come up, and then the other three of you, if you want to come up after that as well, that'd be great. Thank you.
Please allow me to remove my mask. Now is not the time to be handing out raises for elected positions. It's my opinion that most working taxpayers get paid based upon the amount of work that one is asked to perform. Based upon the research provided, workload of the Kendall County coroner is significantly reduced compared to other counties with similar populations. That's an email that I sent you all yesterday. It had the coroner's reports for 2019 for several of the counties that were under consideration for comparables, and I provided that data to you, and I thought it was important because it documented their workload. The biggest variable for Kendall County is the fact that we do not have a hospital located in Kendall County. We used DeKalb County, which had the next lowest death count total. Our coroner processed just 53% of the total deaths that the DeKalb County coroner processed. That number was 311 for Kendall County and 587 for DeKalb County. The DeKalb County coroner earned $66,800, which is presently just 13% more money than our Kendall County coroner presently earns. Yet, he had at least an additional 47% workload. In 2018, the DeKalb County coroner processed 614 total deaths. 567 were classified as natural deaths. 47 were unnatural deaths that needed additional investigation. For 2018, the Kendall County coroner had 308 total deaths. 23 were unnatural deaths. 2019, the DeKalb County report has not been presented to their county board, so that 2019 data is not available for DeKalb County. The other county selected by population had total deaths of 944 for Tazewell County, 1,230 deaths for Kankakee County, 1,145 total deaths for LaSalle County, and 682 total deaths for Macon County. Using the metric of workload instead of population, I would argue that presently our well-qualified coroner is well compensated for the amount of work she's required to do. The county revenue stream may be taking a COVID-19 hit. I know many taxpayers are now unemployed. Now is not the time to be handing out any raises. We are being required to tighten our belts. Please lead by example. Set the bar for no raises across the board for all departments. Presently, the county clerk and the county coroner are both running unopposed. They already know they're going to have a job for the next 4 years. But most of us taxpayers do not have that type of job security. The bulk of the Kendall County coroner's death workload is county citizens who call ahead, notify, pre-register with the coroner, and they indicate their time to leave and go stay with our Lord will be coming soon. As I recall, this was a concept that Matt Prochaska came up with while Mrs. Purcell was out on maternity leave and then implemented. That idea streamlined some of the old Kendall County coroner's workflow and has since been brought forward. It is true, our coroner never knows when the phone's going to ring, but it does not ring that often or frequently, kind of like the Maytag repairman commercial. You've been provided the 2019 death workload data for the other counties you have selected for comparison. The Kendall County death workload is somewhere between roughly one-fourth to one-half of those counties' total deaths. For Kendall County, we had 302 total deaths in 2017, 309 total deaths in 2018, 311 total deaths in 2019. The unnatural deaths were 34 in 2017, 26 in 2018, and 27 in 2019. In fact, that on average, roughly 2 to 3 times a month, our coroner is actually needed, and that is to take a possession of a deceased person's body that suffered an unnatural death. Mrs. Purcell is presently very well compensated for the amount of work required when compared to the other counties that were selected by population. No raises, not now. We're all in this together, so all I'm asking is please give that some consideration and look at the data. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Who wants to come up next? Let's see. Steve, you want to come?
Sure.
Ann, where'd you go? She's still here?
She's in the back.
Okay. You got 5 minutes to say your name for the record.
Steve Yohani Oswego. I would like to disagree with Mr. Todd's wanting to freeze the pay raises. I think the, you know, he's using metrics like if he were in a business. Well, we're not in business. We're in government. And in government, a lot of people get paid the same money just because they have the title. However, if the board should choose to vote for the pay raise, it could truly be said that the, well, given the workload, of course, it could truly be said that the coroner's job is certainly one to die for. However, you're using Tazewell County as a comparable. Okay, that's fair. Let's talk about Tazewell County. Now, unless I got my numbers wrong, and maybe I did, Tazewell County charges their property tax payers $14 to $15 million a year. That's for county services, you know, just like here. Kendall County charges $22 million. There's got to be a good reason for that. Also, the total budget of Tazewell County is $62 million a year. Yet, the total budget for Kendall County, and forgive me if I'm wrong, it's $85 million. That's $23 million difference. But I have to be fair, $3 million of that $23 million is for debt service, because Tazewell County doesn't have any debt service. But forget all that, because I could be wrong. I made a phone call today, and I called someone in Tazewell County. I says, well, how much do the county board members make? She told me, the county board of Tazewell County makes an aggregate salary. That's all the county board members, 21 of them. They make an aggregate salary of $50,400. Okay. However, in just a few months, the aggregate salary of the Kendall County Board is going to be $170,000. But I did forget the Tazewell County Board. They have like $60 per diems for a limited amount of meetings. But of course, here in Kendall County, we not only have $170,000 in aggregate, we also have health and retirement. So, in conclusion, I'd just like to say, if you'd like to make a judgment on the pay raise based on one aspect of Tazewell County, maybe you should consider every aspect of Tazewell County. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Nancy?
Nancy? You want me to go first? Good evening, everybody. Nancy Martin. I've lived 14255 River Road. I've been here 47 years. I have served 16 years on the county board, so I understand your problems. Started in 94 and finished in 2012. I'm here to talk to you about finances. I was on the finance committee all the years that I was on the county board. One year I was chairman of that committee. And I'm a conservative. I tell my people I'm a conservative person, physically conservative especially. However, from the time I was there, before I even got on the board, I think most of the coroner services were done by people in the industry, funeral parlor people. And then they had a coroner who was elected about the same time I was, I believe. He was part-time. He wasn't full-time. He also worked a full-time, I believe, for the Oswego Fire Department, Baronymic or something. And he was there. And many times we had conflicts over his salary. And we took into consideration exactly what Todd is talking about, what size our county was, etc. However, the coroner that was elected after that coroner had far more experience to be a coroner than that coroner did have. As far as I know, she's done a good job. I've never used her services, and I don't plan on it, but in the meantime, I think that she's done a good job. And then I start thinking about, well, what the treasurer makes, what the clerk makes, what the circuit clerk makes. And when I was first on the board, everybody didn't make all the same, but we got all those offices, so they all were the same. They were all considered full-time offices, and they all got that. I believe they all make quite a bit more than what the coroner makes. But I do think hers is a full-time job, and even though we don't have a hospital right now, we do have major medical centers. Rush Copley has one. I believe the ones from the other county even has one. I think the one from Naperville, what's the hospital? Edwards, I believe they have one in the area. And I certainly hope maybe one day we will have a hospital here. But I think you have to appreciate, I've also was in business for many, many years, plumbing contractor, but you learn to appreciate the people that do a good job for you, and I think that's important, that represent you well to the public and to whoever your customers are. And I think that's very important. And so I think you have to reward people that are doing a good job. And so I understand there is a budget. Everybody is hurting. I'll tell you right now, I don't think anybody here will tell you they loved their real estate taxes, including myself. But I do think you have to do a good job in the county. The county has grown so much. It's slowed down a little bit. But I think with the virus and everything else, I think you need to consider that when thinking about whether to, in fact, give the coroner what she deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would say your name for the record, and you also have 5 minutes.
Thank you. I will tell you this much. Gentlemen, you all look better with longer hair, you're rougher, tougher. George Clooney, Christian Bale look, I like it. I, too, am here to speak on behalf of Jackie Purcell's race. Thank you for letting me speak. I spoke to 7 out of 10 of you county board members. I didn't speak to Matt because Matt has decided to recuse, to abstain from voting. He's running for election. I think that was a good thing to do, Matt, to do that. The other two of you, Judy and Mr. Giles, I didn't speak because you spoke out against it, and I figured, well, I waste my breath. So anyway, but I have to tell you, the 7 of you that I spoke to all embrace this race for Jackie, and I think that is a great idea. And I want to thank you for that because I think you have made a good decision. Finally, as Nancy said, we have a professional coroner with a pedigree that, like, we have a few counties that surround us, Cook, maybe Lake, that have MDs who are medical examiners, but I don't think anybody in any of the counties that Tab mentioned has a coroner with the pedigree that Jackie holds. Jackie's home to scientific, where Todd wanted to do a comparable on workload, I would like to do a comparable on her pedigree and her abilities and the education that she has. In agreeing with Mrs. Gilmore, there is no good time to give a raise. There really isn't. There is no good time. But to single out one person or two people, when in fact you guys go through tons and tons of union negotiations every year, FOP, sergeants, teamsters, you name it. When was the last time you didn't give them a raise? You do. And sometimes those raises cost this county anywhere overall $25,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. Add that to the Social Security and the IMRF, you've got some real numbers there. But you fight it out and you duke it out, but you don't single out one person. I think that the decision that you're making is good, and besides that, you got to remember something else, and I think maybe I should call this to your attention. I'm sure you all think about it a lot. But when she turns up on the scene, Debbie, when she has a problem in her office, or Jill, or Robin up there, you got a problem in your office, you call some other clerk or other treasurer, you might call your association, you might call Eric, you might say, you know, what do I do about this? If you open the book. But with Jackie, when she gets called to a scene, she's going to decide then, is it a homicide? Is it a suicide? Is it natural cause? Is it a drug overdose? All those things are scientific. I might hate my neighbor, and I might have some thoughts about doing something, but the DNA is going to prove I never did it. And Jackie's scientific background can help do that. And that I'm going to be real thankful for. I'm glad you guys have decided to make that decision. I'm real proud of all of you. I think you should be proud of your coroner. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else for public comment? All right, thank you. Next, I would like to open the public hearing for the proposed downstate small business stabilization applications funded by Community Development Block Grant CDBG funds. Mr. Keppel.
Thank you. We've been doing these the last few meetings. This is that downstate program. We're excited that we keep getting applications that come in to the county. We're hoping that we get more. So if anybody knows a business owner in the unincorporated areas, let us know. If you're inside one of the cities, please contact the cities and our economic development. We can direct you there if you come to the county. This one is for Blackberry Golf, Inc., and the president is Gary Block.
Thank you. And just to kind of reiterate, as we've talked about this before, but the Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program is a program from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity that is providing funds for 60 days of working capital for small businesses during the COVID-19 crisis. The program is supported by Community Development Block Grant Program funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and is designated for assisting Illinois communities to meet their community and economic development needs. Non-essential, for-profit, private small businesses with 50 or fewer employees are allowed to apply, with some exceptions. The Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program requires applications to be submitted through a unit of local government in order to administer the funds to do the business. A participation agreement between the county and the business will put in place to define the partnership. Funds for this program will not need to be repaid, provided the businesses remain open for at least 60 days, or reopen and retain or re-employ permanent jobs in the next year. And as Scott mentioned, our applicant this evening is Blackberry Golf Inc. Is it Mr. Blocker? Is he on the phone?
Might not be.
Okay. Blackberry Golf Inc. is submitting an application for $25,000 for the Downstate Small Business Program. Blackberry Golf Inc. is a golf course operating in Kendall County for over 25 years. From the middle of March until May 1st, the course was closed to golfers. They are now operating at less than half of their capacity. They are not allowed to rent golf carts and can only, I think that may have changed. Is that, do we know? But they can only allow parties of two out of every 15 minutes. This has greatly impacted their revenue. The funds will be used to pay personnel salaries and wages for five employees. Are there any questions with respect to this applicant? All right, I'd like to close this public hearing. And may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Sesich, seconded by Flowers. All in favor, roll call, please.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Old business. New business. Executive session. No need right now. Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff, do you have anything you want to add?
Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening.
Just wanted to give the board a brief update. I started emailing you Sunday afternoon, evening sometime, giving you updates when I could about what was going on. I just want to publicly thank the men and women of the Sheriff's Office and how dedicated they are not only to citizens of Kendall County, but also our neighbors that do reach into Kendall County. Something happens in this region, it does affect us all. So a lot of hours have been spent out on the road protecting people around. So it's really hats off to them. I think I shot you the number 17 were up in Aurora on Sunday night into Monday morning, and then two were in Joliet that evening, and then we had more out last night in Naperville and Aurora assisting them through the Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System mobile field force. We have a couple members on that, and then also our local special response team as well. So we did open up the EOC on Sunday night for a little bit. We did not open it up the other night. You don't have enough pictures of me?
he likes the beard.
Yeah, this one's good.
My Sean Connery look. So I'll be able to answer any questions you may have. I know there was a small protest today in Yorkville, very peaceful, which is obviously what we like to see. It's been turning different, usually at night. There's been a couple other things going on, but your police forces are out there, both in the county and municipalities, working very well together. But I'd be more than happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Mr. Prochaska.
No, Sheriff, I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything your office has been doing the past few days. I know it has been very, very trying times for everyone. And I know your deputies are probably getting tired considering they've been on call probably almost constantly since Sunday night. But no, I wanted to say thank you for your office's professionalism, and I greatly appreciate the work that you and our deputies and the chiefs of Kendall have done.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Gilmore?
Sheriff, I want to just, right along with Matt, I just want to thank you and your staff. You guys are putting yourselves on the line, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. It's just amazing what you guys are doing, so thank you.
You're very welcome. I know some of the staff did get hit with some flying debris. I know one of the Oswego guys on the SWAT team, they got hit with a brick in the shoulder. So when you guys think about putting in bricks and sidewalks in downtown areas, remember they can take them out and use them as weapons. So,
Ms. Hessage.
So, yeah, I want to kind of expand on everybody else's too, saying thank you. You know that we think you guys are awesome, and we were watching all that very closely. You were keeping us updated, so we appreciate that. I also wanted to say thank you for your statement on George Floyd. So I know you and I talked about this, and, you know, sort of the feelings that go along with the situation of that, and now we're seeing all these protests, you know, come out of that situation. But you doing that, especially coming off the heels of something, you know, that we had talked about earlier, you know, with the governor's orders and things like that, that people weren't happy with, and then seeing all of the support that you were getting because of that statement and what you truly felt with that statement, gave us a lot of pride. I know I saw several board members speaking to it, and it makes us feel good, you know, being in this county and knowing that we have people like you and our other deputies here with, you know, the way they feel and the way they act in their, in what they're doing on a daily basis and putting their lives on the line, quite frankly. So thank you for that as well.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I could add too, you know, as long as I was going to mention this later, but you know, I need to commend you, Sheriff. I've been able to, I was in the EOC on Sunday night, and I've been on, you know, various calls, and, you know, seeing you in action, you really are a leader, and the other chiefs in the counties, I can't say enough about what I saw happen with the, what, six or seven of you, or eight, you know, because I know there's some state police and some others that were, you know, kind of in and out as well, but, you know, it's really heartening to watch the professionalism that you exude, the coordination between the various agencies, the compassion that you show, you know, our citizens, and you know, just your amazing work ethic. These guys, nobody wanted to come in. You had to, like, kick and you know, pull them kicking and screaming. They all want to be out there, and not just to protect you know, from the flying bricks and things like that, but they wanted to protect the legitimate protesters to do their duty, which there's nothing more patriotic than protesting and in America. And you guys are out there, you know, for some, was it 18 hours? Is that the length? Or I forget what you have to pull them off and they have to go to sleep. I heard a lot of you need to go to sleep now.
It's a long time.
And so I just can't say enough about that. And, you know, when you've been here before, you talk training. This has been your kind of the thing that you have talked about since you've been elected. And it shows in times like this. I heard it during Henry Pratt. I saw it firsthand these last few days, you know, training. I get it, and I see it, and thank you.
So. You're very welcome. Thank you guys for always supporting that budget line item. Mm-hmm. Now, on a budget line item, with the
speaking
overtime.
Of
that said.
I did get the six-month report this morning on where we're at. On the patrol side, where we spent most of our overtime, we have spent some in these last couple days also in corrections with some of our planning as well. We were sitting very nicely at 27% up year to date as of May 31st, that's going to change. I'm optimistic because we were down about 23% in this first 6 months. So I hope the last few days we've spent a lot of money, but that's an investment in our community, and hopefully we're still going to come in under budget. We're going to try, but I can give a report on that when all the pay stubs are put out. But
Finance Chair?
We always keep an eye on that.
not about money.
Can we get
it? I echo all the comments everybody made. You know,
1 second, Tony.
Support. And
thank you.
Amazing job you've done. Also wanted to note, you know, in our consent agenda, we were doing the Law Enforcement Appreciation Week. That was something we discussed at a prior meeting,
yeah,
but made official tonight. And I think it's very appropriate, or very good timing that we made it official tonight after what's been going on the last 3-4 days. So that proclamation doesn't even cover the appreciation that I know myself and the board members and people in the community have for our first responders out there. So I don't have words to describe the thankfulness I have for all you do.
Thank you. It's ironic. I was out jogging on Sunday morning or Sunday mid-morning, and I saw Mr. Kellogg and I ran by where he was.
He ran away from me.
Hey. I said, hi to you. I stayed well far apart, and then, you know, a couple hours later, your life switches, and
yeah,
it's been all
like an
all
hour
that.
Later, I started getting emails from you, and yeah, I'm like, that
changes that quick.
I'm glad you got your stress out before.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Any other questions or for
sorry,
Tony, go ahead.
And you too.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to say, well, obviously, you know, ditto on everything everybody else said in regards to Sheriff Baird and his leadership role and his professionalism. But in addition to that, I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, the comfort that, you know, I have in him and that I'm sure the county does as well. I mean, I've seen him in the leadership role, either in sheriff or chief, for over 13 years now. And in times like this, what's really nice is, it's nice that he's able to, you know, how you know the type of person he is, you know the type of leadership he has, you know the people that he has working with him, and it gives you comfort. And so, like in the way I have a few kids and other people in the community talk to them, it helps me to, you know, kind of rest easily at night, comfort my kids, and knowing that we're going to be safe, and other members of the community, knowing that I can convey to my children, my family, and others, who we have in charge of our county as sheriff. And so that is just a huge peace of mind. There's nothing to really kind of wonder about. We know that everything is going to be done correctly and keeping the county safe. And so I just want to say on that level, you know, we really greatly appreciate that extra layer. Something that you don't really get to see is the comfort that people have knowing that you're in charge of the county. So thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Ms. Hendricks. Please say something negative about the sheriff so he doesn't cry.
His head is growing.
I remember one time we were leaving the building and he tripped and fell up the stairs. It was bizarre. No. I do remember, though, leaving a meeting on a hot summer night, and Sheriff Barrett was exiting with several of us, and I remember remarking to him at that time, and this is maybe 2 years ago, he might remember better, that how impressed I was with the leadership that had taken place specifically related to race relations and minorities, and that we had a very good reputation in that regard, and that that was a direct result of his leadership and the culture that he's built around it, as well as the training he's sought out for all of his team. And I just want to take a moment to point that out again, because that is the definition of leadership. It's not telling people what to do. It's bringing out the best in people, showing them what they have, helping them to hone that skill, and then sending them out in the world to do good. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Gangler.
Very short. Appreciate you, Sheriff, and all the deputies that work for you. And keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you guys very
much. Ms. Vickers.
She's sick, I might as well.
I will just second, third, what everyone else said, and second what Amy said, appreciation for the statement, because people do pay attention to that, and they do comment on who did and who didn't in the area, and I think it's an important thing to do to make sure that people know, because I know it and I believe it, but it's nice to hear it from you too. So mm-hmm. I really appreciated that.
Well, I appreciate you guys bringing it to my attention. Normally I try to stay in my lane, my region. Don't try to go outside and talk politics in other states, but that was pretty egregious. And after I had some conversations, I felt it was the right thing to do in my heart. So thank you.
Ms. Flowers.
Thanks, Liz. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's like a love fest over here.
Is there any other elected officials?
I know.
Yes. Department head, Roger's on the phone for an email update for you.
Yeah, Roger. Mr. Benucci, you've also been putting in the hours. Welcome to Kendall County.
Yeah.
Pandemic and protest.
Is he echoing?
Yeah, he's right. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, thank you. I can't quite hear exactly what everybody's saying. Under the heading of COVID-19 PPE, although I haven't gotten many requests over the last 10 days or so, or 7 or 8, I got quite a few from entities that had never requested anything from EMA before. We've been able to fill those and order some new from IEMA. Just today, we delivered PPE such as masks, hand sanitizer, face shields, et cetera, to Oswego School District 308, Grundy Kennel Regional Office of Education, and the KC Animal Control just across the street here. Also, I invited our EMA volunteers into the EOC last week. I'd never met any of them before. There was less than 10 of us, by the way. We delivered 1,700 isolation gowns and 2,000 masks to four nursing homes that night. We had some sandwiches set around and talked about where we were going to take our emergency management agency. We're delivering three SIDREPs published daily, 8 a.m., midnight, and 8 p.m. The two early morning and late are requested by IEMA to get on daily, just as of yesterday. For search and rescue, our search and rescue team was out for Anna DeLong. You might have heard about Anna DeLong back on the 21st. Ms. DeLong was an autistic 18-year-old. She was out walking her dog, and she fell into the then-raging DuPage River. There was another researcher out there working with DuPage County Forest Preserve Police. We also had a second request that occurred on May 29th. However, the subject was found before the teams were deployed. For weather, the EOC was opened for severe weather on Saturday the 23rd that afternoon. Like you all remember, the inclement severe weather that occurred then. We had a lot of rain. There was actually a tornado that skirted across the southeast corner of the county in Manuka. It was similar to what the National Weather Service had forecasted. It was weak and short-lived, and it just damaged some trees, and that was about it. We didn't have much in the way of flooding, except for, as the sheriff tells me, some roads in the southern part of the county that weekend. And the last thing, Tracy Page, our deputy director, had sent out portions of our emergency operation plan to different county departments to get their updates. We're collecting those, and once we get them all together, we'll bring in some of our EMA volunteers to do some editing, and we'll be able to get that updated. And Mr. Chairman, that's my report.
Thanks, Roger. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank Roger for keeping me in the loop and bringing me up to speed on some EMA things as well, as we've had a transfer with me being more involved in this, and he has worked a lot in his first 6 weeks, probably more than anybody would have ever imagined. So I just wanted to thank him for doing a great job with that and keeping me in the loop and the team as well. So.
Yeah, I want to echo that as well. We're getting to know each other pretty well now with all that's been going on. So. Ms. Sesich.
Roger, this is Member Sesich. Did we ever find out why the state closed all the COVID sites, testing sites, and are they set to open again? I'm assuming it was mostly because of the protest, but it was the whole state, correct?
Well, yes, and I'm going to give you my guess. I think it was Occam's razor. The most obvious answer is probably the correct one. I think they were afraid. And so all of the state-run sites were shut down. And why, whether they're open again today, I wish I had known when I set the SIDREP up, because I don't know. I should have asked. Should have asked IEMA Region 3 coordinator that question, but I failed to do that. I'll make sure I do that tomorrow.
So are they still providing us then with data or no?
Yes, well, we're still getting data, yes, through the health department here in KC.
Because they're still, I'm assuming they're still testing in hospitals then, just even if the states aren't open or the state sites aren't open?
I'm going to have to assume yes.
Okay.
That's all right.
Okay. Scott?
Yeah, Roger, this is Scott Gangler. We've been designated a disaster area again, correct? The riots, is that?
Yes, we have. That came out yesterday.
And that, what does that mean now for Kendall County as far as the second disaster proclamation?
That enables some things that the governor has provided. I'm sorry, I can't give you exactly the details, but it does enable us to get resources through IEMA that we wouldn't normally be able to get. I know that sounds vague, but I have to admit, I don't exactly what all that is.
Scott Keppel?
Well, we can request resources. We were included in the disaster proclamation. If we do need additional resources, state police, the sheriff were to request different things if we started to have problems specifically. It opens up a lot of options for the governor's office and the Illinois Emergency Management to assist us more. And then on the back end of it, we may try to recapture some costs as well, like we're going to with COVID-19. Sometimes the disaster proclamation opens that door as well, so we will be monitoring and trying to do that too if we do incur some costs.
Would that cover the overtime as well?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I think that had to have played into it, you know, significantly is the fact that you know, you heard the numbers from Sheriff, but you know, Oswego, Yorkville, Plano, Sandwich, they all sent, you know,
right.
numerous staff to Aurora and Joliet and other places, so. Because we didn't have, otherwise, I don't think we had much damage in Kendall County at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, not here specifically, right. But because we sent our people out,
right.
It was lucky that we were included in that so that we could possibly
right.
get some funds for it. So.
Is Rich asking?
Anything.
Oh. Wave your hand around.
This was a grievance.
It's like an auction. see a move.
Right.
Emergency management, we don't really have to spend any money with EMA. I mean, all this PPE that I'm sending out, we all give out all from the state. We don't pay anything for that.
Okay.
Thanks, Roger. Standing committee reports, finance, Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you, sir. I'll start off with something not on the agenda. We've got we've been doing a COVID-19 report in our claims that wasn't in this set of claims. During finance, we had some questions about things that were descriptions that sounded like they were probably COVID related, but they didn't have the COVID number on there, so they weren't in the report we're running. So Latrice is working with Jill and Matt Kenzie and people to figure out how to back code some of those properly so we don't make the auditor mad and so we have the right information. So. That is not in your report. I don't know when it'll be available. We'll have an updated one hopefully for the next board meeting. So,
thank you.
Sorry about that. Like, make a motion to approve the master power supply agreement between Kendall County and LIGO Energy Illinois LLC.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sesich. Discussion on this. Mr. Keppel?
Sure, this was discussed at Committee of the Whole. I want to thank Jim Webb here. He did the attorney's review of the contract. They accepted all the recommended changes that we had. I also want to thank Alliant Mesero. They reviewed the insurance aspect of this, and we got in everything we needed insurance-wise in this contract as well. So we're happy with where those pieces are at, and I think it's a good opportunity to become a green community and get some revenue for the county.
Mr. Prochaska.
How much revenue?
The starting rate for the citizens and people that are using this, is that lower than the ComEd rate right now?
Mm-hmm. It was actually the ComEd rate.
We got Chris Childress on the phone. He can answer that.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah, it was.
Chris Childress, are you on the phone?
Yeah, so the rate is exactly the same as the ComEd rate right now. Plus, you get the benefit of the Civic Grant and then also become an EPA Green Power Community. So there's a guarantee that it will never be higher and actually will be the same as the ComEd rate. The good news there, though, is the ComEd rate dropped about $46. So there is $46 of savings this year versus last year.
Excellent.
Chris had also mentioned to us that this keeps third-party vendors from going door-to-door to try and sign people up as we mm-hmm. do it as a county. It keeps that from happening for our citizens. So I guess, Chris, you get to call Shop It Out for the citizens. Is that the best way to call that?
Yeah, exactly.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All ayes, that motion carries. Thank you. What's the next?
Could you talk about how Mr. Prochaska will not be here anymore?
I hadn't moved on yet, but I will.
He's excited about it.
What's the next step for this one then? For power
supply?
After the agreement signed?
Get the agreement signed and sent off, and then we have to do two separate notices to the citizens, and then this takes effect later this year in the fall.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you. All right. Next item, I would like to announce that Mr. Prochaska has recused himself from the discussion of items 13A2 and 13A3, and under our rules of order, shall be deemed as though he is not present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution establishing the salary for the Kendall County Coroner, page 44 of your packet.
Second.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sessage. Any discussion
really?
On this? All right, Hendricks. Put Hendricks in the...
I keep trying.
Since you're on the phone. I'm doing an audition for WSPY here. Caller, you're on the air. Yeah. All right. Ms. Hendricks was the second there. Amy, I'll get you next time.
That's
any discussion?
I think... Can I say something?
Ms. Sessage.
I know we talked about this, and, you know, there's a lot of opinions, you know, for and against, and I don't think anybody thinks that, you know, Jackie doesn't do a good job. You know, that's not the, I think that even if you voted no, I don't think that that's the opinion. But, you know, when we talk about our essential workers and what they do and the harm's way that they put themselves in to do their jobs, I think, you know, she's been present in a couple of different times where, you know, COVID was an issue. So I know she's, or at least that position, I would put in the category of essential workers. So when you're looking at those types of things, and if you wanted to just even look at Jackie specifically, yes, she's well qualified, overqualified. If she left tomorrow, could we get somebody, you know, interim to fill that position at the you know, the salary that it's at now? I don't know. I mean, certainly not of her caliber. So when you look at those things and the fact that there is no good time, Ann was absolutely right, there's no good time to ever give out money, but we do it with the unions, we do it with our other elected officials. This time it fell in a really crappy time. People are taking pay cuts or losing their jobs, whatever. You know what I mean? We've seen it all. But we've also positioned ourselves in this county to be able to do this. We have a fund balance that's healthy. Our finance chairman has made sure that this is not out of the reasonable realm to do. We've looked at it. We've discussed it as a board. We would not do something that was not responsible to this community, to this county, to the people that put their money into this tax base every day. And so to sit here and say that we shouldn't do it, whatever, I think is offensive to me, especially at the how low her pay is, how low that position is. Even if you took her out of it, how low that position is. So I just wanted to say it again. I know we all pontificate and give our opinions about why yes or why no or whatever, but I think it's important that when we say, we talk about taxpayer money, that we're doing it for the betterment, for the good of this whole entire county. We don't just willy-nilly toss money around. I know people think we do that, but we really don't. And so we've discussed this ad nauseum. We've not given out that raise before. So is it a great time? Absolutely not. Of course not. But should it be done? Yes. So that's what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Flowers.
I agree with everything Amy just said, and Jackie is a compassionate coroner. I mean, she is the face of this county to a lot of people when they need that touch, you know. I mean, she meets people in their darkest moments, and that's who we need, someone who is that compassionate, and Jackie is that person. And she is continually training and continually exceeding our expectations and goals. So I think she deserves this raise.
Ms. Vickers?
The other thing that I think we need to think about in kind of in response to Todd and your numbers and data that you collected, Jackie does a lot of other things that aren't death related. So the mm-hmm. Lights of Hope program, the support group for families who've lost members to mm-hmm. overdose, I think is mm-hmm. a really impressive and really unique thing that she's brought to the county and mm-hmm. the community. So, and it's an important thing that, you know, it's a good thing to have for our citizens to use. So there's things on top of just the death-related things that she's doing as well.
And if our sheriff gets out of line, she can arrest him.
Exactly.
Yes, that is true.
I think, Ms. Gilmer?
Well, I think you all know how I feel about this. I've talked about this before. And first of all, it's not personal. Jackie, as we all agree, she's very qualified. She does a good job. She's a friend. It's not a personal thing against Jackie. It's just that this is the wrong time. I'm sorry. I wish the board, before we were on the board, I wish the board had made that coroner salary up to where it should have been. It would have been a lot easier for us right now with this difficult decision. But for whatever reason, that wasn't done, and that's really unfortunate, because comparatively, she is lower paid than counties around us. But what I'm looking at is, I know our revenues are going to be down. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. We have businesses here in Kendall County that probably will never come back. Our revenues are going to suffer. We have the highest unemployment here that we've had since the Great Depression. It's hard for me to vote for a 21% raise, even though I wish I could. It's just hard for me as a conservative person to do that. And so that's my reason.
Thanks, Judy. Mr. Gangler, is your hand up? Or?
Yeah. You know, to me, you know, it's about the position, and this position really has had a minuscule raise over the last 8 years, I believe. One thing to add to what Robin was saying, she also has high school students and educates high school students come in. I think she actually had some students from Oswego East come in and other surrounding high schools come in. So there's, you know, there's that aspect as well too, as far as the educational part. And then one, you know, thing I like to think about too are the older adult living centers. You know, we have much more other than just hospitals. I mean, we have opportunities that we're growing in senior adult living centers. There might be more opportunities as far as people passing away within the county as well, too, on top of just the, you know, the population of the county. So for me in this case, I think it's, you know, it's adequate to get her to where she needs to be, or that position needs to be. And she's very qualified, you know, I'm glad to have her, so.
Mr. Kellogg.
Mr. Chairman.
When we started this discussion, I was very conservative. I know some people are teasing me that I'm not conservative about this. Then I started looking at the salary scale of the previous coroner and did some math, because I do that. You just take if you just give it a cost of living increase, mm-hmm. a 2%, which isn't even what our unions get. They get 2.5 to 3.5.
Stands.
If you just did 2% from 13 to current, we'd be at the number we're handing out there within $500 or $800. So if the previous coroner had battles with the board, with media, with everybody, Jackie came in and all that disappeared. It's very professional run. She does a great job. We talk about suicide awareness in the program. She did that. The opioid stuff she was working on with Dr. Tokars. Some of those things. And, you know, it's not just a love fest for her. She and I butt heads on finance and stuff 2 years ago when she brought forth her numbers yeah. that I didn't agree with, and I didn't think she put time into working on. And she mm-hmm. brought back the next year budget numbers that actually she spent more time on, because she hadn't looked at that. She'd been focused on the trainings and the outreach program she was doing. So I know what it looks like, but it's the right thing to do, and
that's what I'm going to vote for.
Mr. Giles?
Oh, thank you. You know, I think if, I know, you know, all 10 of us are there we go. Sorry, hit the mute button. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, that all 10 of us aren't in agreement that Jackie does an outstanding job. You know, she's well-educated, well-qualified, constant professional. You know, like Member Kellogg just said, you know, in areas where maybe there's a deficit, you know, in abilities, you know, she made up for the next time. She's, you know, she shows that improvement there. So I think we're all in agreement that, you know, she's a great person and does a great job with the position. But in even some of our speakers, I think even the last one mentions in public comment how, you know, it's all these things that she's doing, how qualified she is, how can we not give her a raise? But it's not a personal issue. We're not hiring or giving a raise to a person based upon their qualifications. It needs to be office-driven. And almost most of the people said, they talked about how good she was. She said, okay, it's not a personal decision, but Jackie does blah, 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 blah. I think we're all in agreement. She's fantastic. When she first approached me about running, it was where she, she corrected me if I'm wrong, but it was where she wanted to run, but corner before Toftoy, he was going to run one more set, one more term, and she laid it out for me. She was very qualified then, you know, and even more so now, and definitely very qualified for the position. But that's not what we're basing this on. It isn't a merit base. It isn't a qualification base. If we say, oh, let's raise this 21% now, what do we do if at some point somebody runs against Jackie who has zero qualifications for the job, but is just really good at running for office and wins and does a horrible job? Are we going to then say, oh, wait, we got to move this bar back a little bit because you're not doing all these things that the previous person did? And I think it's great. I mean, I cannot applaud her enough for all the extra things she does. Just like Mr. Gangler talked about with the schools and all these extras that she does. But that also is not part of the job. So we are not basing the salary on, oh, you are doing these extras or not. You know, we don't go out and say, oh, member so-and-so on the county board, you know, they should get an extra stipend because, I mean, they went to these community events. You know, there was a community event for Boulder Hill at the church, and, well, they showed up to, like, the last two of those, so they should get extra money because they are doing this. That's not part of the job. It's fantastic that those things are done. It is great that those things are done. But we need to make this raise based upon the job and not based upon the person, because I think all 10 of us agree. Jackie is an awesome person. She's a great person. She does a great job. She goes above and beyond. She's a constant professional. She's definitely qualified for the job. She actually genuinely cares for the job, and it's a difficult job to do, like many other jobs are. But what do we do when someone gets elected to that same position who's just good at running for office and has no qualifications for it? Are we prepared to roll things back then? And I agree with Judy. I don't see how we can stomach a 21% pay raise at this time. And one of the people in the audience didn't catch your name, but they were talking about how, you know, everyone else is getting raises. But look at the next item on the agenda, and finance is recommending that our circuit court clerk, that they don't get a raise for the next 4 years. So is that the position, or is that the qualifications for it? Or is that the job experience that's going into that position? You know, it seems like people want to say one thing for item number two, but then want to maybe make a different case for item three. So I think Jackie is fantastic. I can't say enough good things about her, but it's the position. And if previous county boards didn't take care of this, and there are some members on our board that were and some that are in the audience that were, if they didn't take care of this because they didn't like the person that was in there, then shame on them, because they are due to do the job and give the raise based upon the office and not on the person and their personality. So if this should have been taken care of a while ago, then shame on those previous boards. They should have done their job and not made it a personal issue. If they did. If they didn't, then that's fantastic. But it is based upon the position, not the person. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Ms. Flowers.
I just had a question. Matt or Scott, do we have any information regarding what the salary was or how many raises were given prior to Jackie's taking the position?
Yeah, I could read those to you. Fiscal year 13, 1.5%. Fiscal year 14, 1.5%. Fiscal year 15, 0, 16, 0, 17, 0, 18, 0, 19, 1,
21.
And when did Jackie take the position?
Say it again.
When did Jackie take the position?
In
16.
4 years ago.
16.
4 years ago?
Well, it would have been fiscal year 17.
Oh, well,
elected
yeah.
in 16,
yeah.
17 payroll. So her first 4 years were 0011.
0011?
Yep.
Okay. But prior to that.
So it's not just the person.
It's not just the person?
It's not. It wasn't against the previous coroner because she was in and still got zero.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Did you have a follow-up on that, Liz, or?
I was just wondering, in the 3 years prior to that, it was 1.5?
You're asking 13, 14, 15, 16. It goes 1.5, 1.5, 0, 0. So there's four consecutive zeros in there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Keppel.
Member Hendricks has her hand up 13.
Oh, Ms. Hendricks.
Oh, she does.
Once again. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to say, if we're going to look at the data, and we have looked at the data just to reassure Mr. Milliner, we have looked at the data. It was quite thorough, and we need to give this position a raise. And to Mr. Giles' concern, you know, it is about the position. So if we get somebody tomorrow who's rotten, I guess if we're only supposed to gauge on the position, then that person deserves the salary they get even if they're rotten, just like the person who is in that position gets that salary if they're good. So, it didn't happen in previous boards, and that wasn't correct, and it needs to be corrected because it's a bad moment. We actually have the money to do this, and it is kind of awkward to be doing this right now, but we don't not correct that wrong. Because it might seem awkward. We have the means, it's the right thing to do, and we should do that. Thank you. And I call the question.
Any other comments? There's a motion to call the question. Thank you, I appreciate that. Roll call.
After she speaks.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
7-2.
Thank you. Motion carries 7-2.
Our work here is finished.
Thanks, Ann.
With that, I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution establishing the salary for the Kendall County Circuit Court Clerk. As presented on page 45
Second.
Of the packet.
And I just want to reiterate that Member Prochaska has recused himself from this discussion, and therefore, under Board Rules of Order, shall be treated as though he is not here.
Can we do that for many other things?
Yeah.
It's the
Purcell rule for a reason.
I seconded the motion, by the way.
Seconded by Sessage. Motion by Kellogg. Any discussion on this one?
So.
Ms. Sessage.
Just to the point of, you know, like Mr. Giles was making, and we did talk about this, this position is correctly paid. So it was a different argument or different discussion when you're talking about the numbers for the coroner versus the numbers for this. So while I think I would have been on board with giving some increase, just, you know, when you look at start looking at cost of living and things like that, if you wanted to look at that and the fairness across the board, how we treat staff and other elected officials, I was okay kind of taking a backseat to Ms. Gilmore that said, you know, this really isn't the right time. It is a tough time, but the position is paid well already, so I could stomach it a little better than having not gotten the coroner's position up to par. So if we needed that argument to say, well, why would you do one or the other, I guess that mm-hmm. was my rationale for it. I still don't quite like it. I would still be, you know, in favor for whatever. But I think the idea was that we wanted to get the coroner's position up to par. So that's why, if you wanted to have an argument for why you wouldn't, you know, do the same for this position, that was why, for me.
Thank you. Mr. Kellogg.
Yeah, so piggyback on that a little bit. A lot of the work that was done on these proposals were done before the COVID.
Yeah.
Before the COVID. So I had the unfortunate pleasure of presenting some of this after the shutdown, and they were numbers that were in packets, and we presented them. So initially, this was presented with a 2% annual mm-hmm. cost of living increase. We did take into concern, you know, what was going on in the world a little bit with this one. Went to zero. So, I mean, it wasn't a pick one, pick the other, or we looked at the salaries, and it was pretty close to in line, so we go to zeros instead of twos, it still makes sense. The other one, we had discussion, a lot of meetings, and a lot of back and forth on it, and that's where we landed on this one, was just a flat for the 4 years.
Thank you. Mr. Gingler.
Chair.
If you take a look at this position in the last 4 years prior as well, too, I could be slightly off on this, but I think it's like 0.6, and then 1 mm-hmm. as far as the raises with this position as well, too. And then we're adding 4 more zeros onto it now. So we've really hardly given this position a raise as well, you know, so.
Yeah.
But speaking to, you know, us changing to the times, I think it's, you know, I think it's important to kind of keep this one where it is, but I think it's also important to say, well, this, you know, this position's hardly had any raise at all either in the 4 years prior to this.
Thank you, Mr. Gangler. Mr. Giles.
Yes, thank you for the comments. Those do help from the committee understanding a little bit more. But I didn't quite understand Member Kellogg's point when he said that all this information was, you know, the research was done and the proposals made prior to COVID, but then after COVID, and so we had a raise initially slotted for the clerk, but then after COVID now we're taking that raise back. So I don't quite understand which metric we're using there to determine the raise or no raise. I just don't understand. I just wondered if I could have some clarification. I don't understand that.
Was there a discussion in the committee?
Yeah, Mr. Kelly, Ms. Sessage.
It was discussion at Cal, I believe, as well, and that's when we were first bringing up the idea, and I believe it was Ms. Gilmore that said, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about this. And I think that's when we said, well, A, we have to. So, but B, do we have to give out this amount of raise? Do we have to give out a raise? Can we keep it the same? And I think when we looked at the numbers in committee, it was established at that point that this position was not remarkably low paid. So it, you know, it was a different conversation, I guess you could say. So.
Okay. Then just kind of to follow up then, what other counties did we compare ourselves to? So what kind of data do we have there in regards to, so that way we know that this is a properly paid position, that it's not over or underpaid?
You know, I don't even think we got there, Tony. When we were discussing this at Cal, the conversation kind of...
I thought we did have that.
I mean, we did, but I mean, we really didn't get to discuss a lot of it because it was just a, we're not doing this.
Matt's rifling.
I know.
I
think Mr. Kellogg's trying to get the information, and I know Mr. Keppel should have it at some point.
We weren't asked to do salary comparisons on the inspector point. The administration isn't asked, to my knowledge.
Yeah. So that's just kind of my question. Like, how do we go to the taxpayers and say we're comparing our coroner's salary to multiple counties around and determine it's underfunded, but then we are not doing the same thing with the exact next line item? Why are we not comparing that to multiple counties and bringing back data to justify a 0% raise? I mean, this person, well, it won't be the same person, obviously, we all know that, but I mean, in the last 8 years, you're looking at 6 out of 8 years at a 0% raise, which, whew, I don't know what other office or jobs had that.
No, the original proposal was 2%, 2%, 2%, so when the committee came back, or a cow came back and said, no, we're not doing anything. Nobody had any alternative requests for any kind of other number. So then we said, fine. So it was supposed to be a raise. There was supposed to be a raise.
Okay,
that would have just been a general
2%
increase.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. I mean, I am agreeing with you 100% that, yeah, we did talk about how there was a proposed increase. People said, no, this backed away from us, so the committee backed away from the recommendation. I totally agree with you there. My question is, and I don't know, maybe the chairman of the committee has the answer to it, is if we're comparing the coroner's salary to other counties, why don't we have the same data for this office?
Tony, would you like to make an amendment to the motion? I'd be willing to.
No, I'd like the question answered. I don't want an amendment. I want the question answered.
Okay. Well, we discussed it in COW. We discussed in finance at least three times.
Well, I just mean, what are those numbers? I mean, and you probably have it if you discuss it so many times. I'm sure we probably have it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if we have that. Latrice did the research before. I don't know if she researched this or not. But it sounds like that they don't have that information.
On the corner zone, we're not asked to do anything for the circuit clerk. The discussions that never came from the finance committee to that.
Okay, so there you go.
All right. I couldn't quite hear Mr. Couple there. I heard about half it came in and out. Sorry. Can you repeat that or someone?
Yeah, sorry, Tony. The request was never made to administration to do a similar study of the circuit clerk salaries in the area. We just did the coroners because of the request.
Okay, so the committee never requested other counties for the circuit clerk.
I think it was a typical cost of living increase, right?
We were just going to do a typical cost of increase or cost of living increase.
Which cost of living is 2.3% this year, so, you know, not even 2.
So we could be underpaying this person, is what we're saying.
Possibly, but when you take the median, if you're looking at the median of salaries of what people make in this county, the circuit clerk is in there, whereas the coroner's was not.
Okay, but I hear what you're saying there, but that's kind of apples to oranges, because if we're going to compare our coroner and our arguments to other coroners in other counties, then we can't go to circuit clerk and say we're going to compare that person's salary to the mean, median, mode, whatever number we want to throw in there, to people in the county. We would need to compare that against other counties. And quite frankly, I think that the due diligence wasn't done by the finance committee to compare this salary to other counties.
So if you're willing to give a raise, let's do it. Make the motion.
You know what I'd be willing to do? I'd be willing to say yes or no to a raise based upon the fact that the committee had done the due diligence.
You're going
to
say no anyway.
Counties. Amy, it wasn't done. It wasn't compared. Talk to your chair, not me. Ask Mr. Kellogg, why was it not compared to other counties like the coroner was? That question just doesn't get answered.
And if we compared it, would your answer be different then? Is that what you're saying, Tony? That if we had done
all of that research for you,
you would be now going for a raise?
It wasn't done.
It's not, because it wouldn't have made a difference to you.
Mr. Chairman?
No,
We discussed it at COW, correct? We discussed it at COW, Tony. Can you call a question, please?
All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essig?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
So 8-1.
Motion carries 8-1. Thank you. Next up, economic development, Ms. Hendricks.
I want to bring Matt back in.
Good evening. I will just dive
Matthew
straight
Prochaska
in.
Matthew Prochaska is back, by the way.
What?
Matthew's back.
Well, hello, Matthew.
Sorry.
I'd like to make a motion for the resolution of support for BlackBerry Golf, Inc. Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program application.
Second.
This is that
motion
Downstate
by Hendricks,
Stabilization
by
Program
Prochaska.
Again, where we're, pardon me?
Go ahead.
I'll leave it at that. We all know what this is for. We've done this downstate stabilization program. If there's any questions, I'm sure we can address them. But I'm happy to see the applicants coming through.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. We discussed this earlier and this applicant earlier. Any other questions? Mr. Keppel.
I just did want to note that these applications take a good amount of time to get completed, so this one started working on in the middle of May, if not earlier than that. And the current conditions when the application started, it has obviously changed from golfing and what can happen, but the businesses still are impacted. They have to purchase a lot more cleaning supplies. The way their staffing works and the tee times and adjustments they've made, this business has been very impacted by the stay-at-home order from the governor, and that is the intent of this grant, is to make those businesses closer to home.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Motion carries. All eyes. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. And a motion to approve the participation agreement between Kendall County and Blackberry Golf Incorporated.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion on this one? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you. Special committee reports, Mr. Prochaska. Oh, Mr. Keppel.
Economic development item. We are.
Can't see you now.
I know, it's so weird.
You can move into Ms. Hendricks, maybe.
Yeah, sorry, I'm too far away. We're working on with our consultant, TPMA, on the possibility of a federal grant, as discussed at the Finance Committee, for economic development planning, and then also some help with our businesses for COVID-19 related, that coming back and opening up the economy again. So we're trying to get some federal funding to help out the businesses in Kendall County. So I just wanted to mention that we're working hard at that as well. So.
Thank you.
Yes, I would like to comment on that for a second. I just want everybody to know that the administration office has been a gem in looking for ways for us to bring some economic help and relief to our businesses out here. And I think we all owe Mr. Keppel a large hat tip. So hat tip to Mr. Keppel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keppel. And I know that you've been working hard on this. This has been something that you've really stepped up, and appreciate that. Special committee reports, Mr. Prochaska.
Well, I would like to take this moment to thank the United Counties Council, ISACO, NACO, and the IACMBC for all the information they've been constantly sending us. I don't think we go a day without hearing from mm-hmm. one of these groups and what they have been doing in responding to COVID, and as of late responding to legal questions in regards to looting and rioting and county powers in that area. So I wanted to definitely commend those organizations, and I think this is a clear example of why we're a member of these groups. I know that does come up from time to time, why we spend the money on these, and I think they're showing their value right now. In particular, NACO just sent out a series of webinars that are dealing with elections during the COVID crisis and different grant programs that are out there and economic development. All these groups have suspended in-person meetings for the time being. We don't know when they'll be meeting again, but NACO's annual convention has free registration. So if anyone is interested in attending virtually, now's the chance to register.
Thank you. Any questions on these? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Other business?
Actually, Scott, could I just mention one thing that I meant to mention earlier?
You may. Go ahead, Ms. Hendricks.
I'm so sorry. And under economic development, the Small Business Association, if you go to their website, is hosting a series of free webinars and educational materials for businesses who are having to pivot to operating under COVID-19 and some of our new rules for businesses. So if anyone out there is seeking both assistance financially, but also just informationally, this is a really excellent resource, and I would encourage everyone to go to the SBA website to seek those out. And again, they are free, and they really are aimed at helping you pivot to opening your business again post COVID-19.
Great, thank you. Mr. Prochaska.
I just wanted to give one quick Kendall Housing Authority update. The Kendall Housing Authority did meet, and we did reconfirm our CMAP score submission to the Section 8 program that we have in Kendall County. The Kendall Housing Authority was once again designated by HUD as a high-performing housing authority, receiving the same score as we did last year.
Great. The good work continues there after some rough years.
Taking the score from 19 to 135 was interesting.
Yes.
Can I,
Ms. Essich,
give an update a little bit on animal control?
Yes, please. Move out of their business for that.
Oh, are we there?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're there.
It's looking beautiful. So I know Jim has been really great at sending our pictures over, and so we will do a soft opening at some point here, but we wanted to kind of get everybody in first. I've been working with the sheriff's office to you know, to get that trailer out of there and get everybody inside the building. But it looks awesome. I'm probably going to try to go over there tomorrow and do a tour. So if anybody wants to go over and look at it, that would be great. They're just about done, I think.
Cool.
Right, Mr. Kellogg and Mr. Keppel? So Mr. Keppel was over there today, so I was, like, jealous. I wanted to go over and see it. But our staff and our animals will be in a much better place now because it's truly been remarkable, the money that we were able to save and then now use in such a really great way. So Jim Smiley's been awesome. The admin department has been awesome. Mr. Kellogg's, you know, support in us doing it has been awesome. It's been a really great experience overall. And so I'm excited about when we do get to have a grand opening and we do get to have, you know, people there, less than 50, of course. So, but when, you know, we do get to have everybody over there, it'll be really neat. So I'm excited about it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, you know, I too want to, you mentioned Jim Smiley and admin, and man, I can't say enough about the work that our facilities team has done over the last, you know, last 6-8 weeks even. And just getting ready to get this building open, the health department, you know, installing and finding the plexiglass, that was an ordeal, but they made it happen, and they had in some cases we didn't get the we didn't have enough time. Everything's on back order because everyone's doing the same thing, so they were able to engineer some of these on their own, you know, and so that creativity and thinking outside of the box and is appreciated. And we had a Dropbox. The Dropbox, it turned out it wasn't big enough, so they got a bigger one, you know, and they just keep seeing, you know, every problem we throw at them, they come up with solutions, and I really appreciate that. And Scott, you're leading that team over there as well, and answer the phone and emails and everything late into the night. Sunday was a really challenging night for our county, and Scott was up with me till after midnight, and he wrote up writing up materials, you know, to help us out, and I can't say enough about that either. So I wanted to just take a minute and thank both facilities and our administrative staff. Yeah. Mr. Kellogg.
Mr. Chairman,
love Smiley.
You stole my thunder. I was gonna, especially Mr. Smiley, I probably talked to him.
I wish he was here.
3-4 times a week for the last
is he
month
on the line?
With all these things. He was supposed to be on vacation last week, and he wasn't. I know where he was. So with that, I'd also I want to take this chance to thank the Yorkville School District. If you're not aware, the traffic court is mm-hmm. happening at the Yorkville mm-hmm. High School now. They put that together. It's amazing the teamwork that went together. I was there last week. Technology was there. The Sheriff's Department had many people there. The court system, of course, had people there. Jim was there on his vacation day setting that up. And for the Yorkville School District to step forward and say, how can we help? How can we get the court systems back up and running? You know, yeah, use the high school, you know, do whatever you need, put up signs. You know, we've got signs driven in the ground all over the place directing people to the entrance. And of course, Judge Pilmer has been instrumental in all that. His creative mind and his ability to problem solve through this whole thing, whether it's the conferencing so that, you know, inmates can stay at the prison and not come over to the court to infect or cross-contaminate, the things that he's been able to do. It's just amazing the people in the county and our employees and electeds that have worked together during this, because everybody's like, everything shut down. Well, it might have for a little bit, but during that shutdown, there's a lot going on, whether it's, you know, Debbie's office has mail-in ballot stuff coming forward or mailing out, but they're all taking it in stride and attacking it. So I'm just proud of all the people that are here. So I just wanted to say that publicly, and you know, privately, I've made sure all of them know, but when you see them, thank them, because a lot of them put in 60, 80 hours a week when maybe they weren't supposed to be working or on shifts, and, you know, Scott's at home answering the phone all hours of the day. I can't thank him enough. You know, anytime I call, any day of the week, whatever, I know Scott Greider had the same response. You know, he's been there for us, so I can't imagine where we'd be if we didn't have all these people stepping up, so. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Pass along to your team too, Debbie.
Will do.
Chairman's report. I have a motion to approve the appointments of Ken Johnson, reappointment, Bristol-Kendall Fire District Trustee, expiring April 30th, 2023. Marty Schwartz, reappointment, Bristol-Kendall Fire District Trustee, expiring April 30th, 2023.
So moved.
Motion by Second. Gilmore, seconded by Kellogg. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. You guys all stole my thunder throughout the meeting. I was going to talk and thank all at least different people, and you're way ahead of me. And just can't say enough about, you know, how proud I think the residents should be of the hard work that our staff and our elected officials that I see happening day in, day out. I know it's easy to take shots at our officials and day-to-day, and sometimes well-deserved. But there's been some good stuff that I've seen over these last few months. And Ms. Sessage.
I know you're like, really? What else could you have possibly to say? To echo off of that, or to expand on that, I want to thank you for your leadership, actually. So you've been put in a position to, I don't know, when we were talking about the last board meeting about a resolution to get us into a different phase and things like that, but you were thoughtful and you listened. You listened to Dr. Tokars, you listened to the data, you listened to people in Springfield, and we knew, you know, where he was thinking about getting everybody into phase, you know, three sooner and things like that. But I know it was a tough decision, and you have been all along, when you talk about Dwight's leadership, that's you as well. So I know you, you're like turning red here.
Commute you, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, people forget that we have to make decisions, and we were, for lack of a better word, ridiculed a little bit of overstepping, you know, the idea of the executive order by closing down the building. But when you have staff and you have the public that you're thinking about at all times to keep, and their safety is the priority, you did the right thing. And I told you that I was behind you 100%. So you don't get to take everybody's brunt of being mad that we did that, because that was, you know, it was a group effort, and you did talk to everybody and make sure that everybody, you know, their feelings were accounted for. So it's not easy sometimes to be at the top and be in charge. I get that. Nobody's perfect. We don't always get it right. But in this situation, when we've had to deal with, you know, a pandemic and you know, all of the things, you know, the COVID situation and the rioting and the protesting now, you know, you called me the other night, you were at, you know, EOC. So, you know, I think people don't see all of the behind the scenes. They see we come to a meeting once in a while and vote on a bunch of stuff and spend their money, but they don't see all the behind the scenes, like Judy, my gosh, you know, with the Forest Preserve, there is so much going on that we try to keep everything together. And also keep in mind of the taxpayers and the people that we're working for. And so when people, you know, and it's okay to complain about that. That's why we live in this democracy. But at the same time, we need to pat each other on the back when we're doing it right. We need to say good job when it's being done well. And that's why saying those things to Dwight was important. And reaching out to Jim Smiley, because my God, if there's someone that works just 24/7, mm-hmm. sometimes it feels like it's Jim, and I don't know what I would do without him, quite frankly. I mean, he's always on top of it as soon as I ask. So, and all of our staff, and that's why we closed the building, to keep them safe, to keep the public safe. So when I keep hearing like, oh, you guys are taking this too far, I don't think so, because it's about public safety at that point. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for taking the brunt of everybody's complaints about that. I know we even had an AG, you know, had to look into a complaint. So we knew we were right. We knew we were doing it for the right things and reasons, and otherwise we wouldn't have done it. So we certainly wouldn't do it on purpose to keep people out. I know that for sure. So anyway, just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Did we vote on?
We did.
Okay. Sure. We move on. Public comment. You have to say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes.
Todd Millern.
Hold on. Proceed.
Thank you. Okay.
was Jim.
All right, so I did this research, and I called probably four or five of the corners. LaSalle County's was very available and was readily available on their website. A lot of those other annual reports that I provided in the data that I sent you guys, I personally talked to the corners of those counties, and I had no indication at all that anybody from Kendall County had ever asked for those corner reports, which documents the workload. So to say that the research was done, I question that, because
it was.
I haven't seen it in any packet or
don't like to be called a liar.
Anything that's available. Should
we read the whole packet from 5/14?
And you had those exact reports in there?
We had a report, a summary report from it.
What I'm saying is that there was no indication that anybody besides myself had called from Kendall County to obtain some of that. And some of that stuff wasn't readily available on the website. So I just was curious about how all that information was compiled and was the workload actually looked at. You're telling me it was, so we'll accept that. But I would, you're saying it's the what, the 5/14 finance?
Committee of the whole.
Committee of the whole? All right, thank you.
I'm sure Latrice other can speak to it.
Yeah, I have Latrice done it. Questions for the press?
Jim Wyman, WSPY and WSPYnews.com. Can you tell me why Kendall County was, the governor put Kendall County in that disaster area? Yesterday I saw that McHenry and Lake were not in it, but that Kendall was. Was there a reason given why Kendall County was included?
Mr. Kemmel. What we've come up with, part of Aurora is in Kendall County, and that was a big concern, and we've So that
little sliver of Aurora that comes.
We border it. We help out on with them on calls, and that was one of the reasons why we were included.
Amy, is that trailer that the it's at the animal control, is that still leased? I remember when Worley went up and leased it. Is that still leased, or did the county buy it?
No, we paid for it finally. I believe, Scott, it was $4,000 or something.
$4,800 we paid for it a few months ago.
And I've been talking to sheriff's office because we were gonna. It was gonna be half out of animal control and then half out of his budget for the range down south. I've been since kind of boo-hooing in his ear saying if he's got it to do the whole thing, could he do it?
Does he want it?
Yes, they're going to use it for that range down there. So he's going to look at possibly if he can get it in his budget that he would give us the kind of, you know, some money back for what our portion was. So if that can happen, that would be great. But it was nice that we could use it to kind of move then to his range down there, because they have to keep papers and records and stuff at that area, so they'll use it for that.
He took me on a tour down there because of him.
Oh.
So so I've seen it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Katie, any questions?
None at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. No need for executive session?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion second. By Flowers, second by Prochaska. All in favor signify by saying aye. To adjourn.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.
Turn off the recording, please.
Let us know.